All righty. Good afternoon. This is Julie Fedorchak. I am chair of the Public Service Commission, and we are gathered on the 12th floor of the State Capitol for a work session on case number PU-05-47, the petition for extension of the light mitigation deadline by Rugby Wind LLC. Joining me are my colleagues, Commissioner Crotchis, Commissioner Chrisman. I don't really have any opening comments. Do either of you want to make opening comments before we dive in?
I don't have any.
Nor do I.
Okay. So the issue here is the company applied. We had an informal with the company last week. I think we wanted to talk about this, the three of us and staff, just because we anticipate that every time we make a decision on these, it sends a message to other companies who are looking at the same thing. And so I guess for starters, I just wanted to ask, I have some thoughts about this specific case, but I wanted to ask staff just as an overarching question, how many retrofitted wind farms do we have that were permitted prior to the deadline, prior to that June 5th of 2016 deadline, I think it was, that will have to be retrofitted?
That will need that have a deadline of
December 31st of this year.
Of this year, yeah.
Yeah, that's the easier way to ask it.
I guess I'm not absolutely sure how many there are. I'd have to go. I have a spreadsheet that shows.
Oh, okay.
So I could tell you, but I don't have it in my head right now.
Okay.
I can go.
Maybe
if you want it now, I can go look at it.
Yeah.
I think it would be helpful.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so too.
Sure.
We'll wait. I mean, we'll keep talking.
Unless you can give us a range that's within a couple. Probably just vast.
Just get it. Okay. So with that, did either of you want to share thoughts on this one, or do you want me to take the lead? It is my portfolio, so I'm happy to do that. But
yeah, why don't you dive in?
Well, so the way I look at this, the language in the law gives us the opportunity to make an exception for economic reasons, or how is it stated specifically, Brian?
I believe it allows an extension for financial it's economic or technical reasons. So a technical reason would be one that isn't possible to upgrade, but I don't know that there is a system out there that can't be upgraded. I don't know that there's any that are so old that can't be retrofitted, so I don't think there's a technical reason.
And they didn't make that argument, so.
No, and that is another point. And then, as far as economic feasibility, it doesn't really define what that is. It just kind of lets us know that if there's financial reasons for it, that seems like that says that there's something we can allow an extension for.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the word behind economic. I think that was... it's telling because it's not about one price being higher than another. Is it economic inability?
It's 4922, I know, I just within that section. Out. At any rate, I do think it's important to get that specific term. But I don't feel that the company in their application really laid out in detail the rationale for receiving it under the terms that the legislature has spelled out. I mean, they definitely said that it's more expensive, but it isn't. I don't think that they've made the case that it isn't feasible. So I feel like we've got pretty strong direction from the legislature to implement this this technology, and that the waivers should be the exceptions, not the rule. And if we make an if we do waive this, I would expect that we'll get an application from just about every wind turbine out there to waive this. So, I mean, I know that it's a case-by-case basis, but I feel like we should move ahead and have them put the ADLS in, not grant the extension. That's where I'm at.
Jack, so, what's do you have the word? Do you have the word? Economic, or do you?
So I've got it. So it says, after public hearing, the commission may grant an extension of time based on technical or economic feasibility considerations.
Okay. In our rulemaking subsequent to that, though, when you guys were considering how we wanted to define that, I remember the discussion was that we really didn't want to leave an opening for just someone to say, well, it saves us some money, so we shouldn't do this, though.
Right.
So in the administrative rules, how you guys ultimately wrote it out was economic and technical inability, if I remember correctly. And so I think the concept was the three of you, or if I think the three of you were here at the time, wanted to make a stronger right. point towards that.
Yeah.
So that was the only clarification aside from the statutory language that I would probably provide.
Yep. Well, I think it's, for me, it's pretty, oh.
Could you repeat that? You said economic and technical feasibility?
Inability is in the administrative rules.
Economic and technical inability.
Right.
Do you remember what section that's in for the rules?
Which I agree doesn't apply, I don't believe, here.
Well, 902. It
has its own standing section.
Weren't we pretty clear on, I'm trying to think of the wind farm that is down in the southwest by Bowman, that we said, let's see how this goes.
The MDU, Thunder Spirit?
Thunder Spirit.
And that we would use that as a test, a pilot, if you will, because of pending FAA approval, et cetera, on the technology, and that we would treat that as a separate standalone. And I thought we were also pretty clear on not opening the door for then everyone to come in. Subsequently, I'm not saying that was the case here, that they're following the lead of the Thunder Spirit project, but I'm in the same at the same place in terms of no install ADLS. I mean, the other, we don't even know if it'll ever be approved.
Right.
And the legislative intent is the sky should be dark at night. And I'm not saying that, you know, comparing that to the dimming, but just saying that in lieu of an extension means they're not dark at night for however long that could take. The federal level, a year, 2 years, longer. Maybe it never is approved. I don't know.
The problem, if we don't grant any other further extensions along the lines of that, nobody else is going to probably have the opportunity to. They're going to have to commit to ADLS right now and be done. So if it is the better choice and gets us better results, we're going to have one that'll have it and then the rest won't. As far as, you know, prior precedence that was set by the granting of the first one, what we need, what that one says is that we're willing, but to deny one, there's got to be something that causes us to deviate from that. Very similar time frame on this one. So on the face of the application itself, it looks very similar, but at the hearing, as was stated earlier, there seemed to be a lot missing.
Do we have an answer from Patrick?
Yes.
So, I'm going to give you a little background. Ashtabula, they are on track to meet the deadline for all three of their wind farms. Then, depending if you want to count Thunder Spirit as one or two, if you count them as two, there would be 18.
Including those Ashtabula and Thunder Spirit?
Without them? Excluding those, yep. And also, I've only counted Langdon as one, even though there's an Otter Tail portion and a
sure.
Langdon portion.
And that's included, and this one is included in the 18?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Brian, you brought up a point I hadn't thought about. And that is, you know, what the reality would be that all the others would need to get a head start, and not a head start, but get started installing this. And if LIDS is approved and proves to be better, no one else will have it. Because these are like one-time investments, or, you know, 1 to 10 years probably investments.
I'm not sure that is quite completely the case. So, first of all, as far as the extensions go, I'm not sure that the FAA just doesn't have their minds made up. I mean, this whole, well, we can't do test flights because of COVID. That, I don't know, just seems, that doesn't seem like a very realistic excuse anymore. Probably held more weight many months ago, but
Washington is still shut down.
There's a lot of things happening there too. And
online. I mean, flights are going up, like travel is happening, I guess, but
we just don't know whether it's ever going to get extended. And if ADLS continues to disappoint, and if LIDS is ultimately approved, and then if that doesn't disappoint and is a very good success, well, we also don't know that the legislature isn't going to say, well, no, ADLS is a failure and we're going to mandate something else. And now you all have to, even though you have ADLS, now you all have to go to LIDS. Yeah. They could change their mind on that.
They could, but then would it be foolhardy that we didn't allow an extension to let that technology evolve a little bit, knowing it was out there?
I'm just not seeing much of an end in sight. I don't support the extension. Because I'm just not seeing an end in sight with this.
Well, I mean, it's certainly a question mark, but I don't think that we have anything to go on that it wouldn't be approved either. And if it's, you know, it does say something that it has been approved in Canada. I mean, are our rules that much different than theirs when it comes to aviation standards?
Great question. I wouldn't have any idea what the difference between the FAA and whatever. We'll call it the Canadian Goose Administration up there. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the difference would be.
The one thing that strikes me, you know, one being better than the other, speculative. We don't know. The extension or when the FAA may or may not approve, we don't know. It's all speculation. The only thing that's not speculative is ADLS, which I believe, I do remember what company was, Excel, talked about how many times it was being tripped and the skies were lighting up and how that had gone down substantially as they fine-tuned and mm-hmm. learned more about applying the system itself. We don't even know where that's going to ultimately end in terms of minimizing how many times it goes on outside of, you know, for reasons other than aircraft. So we don't even know where that's going to go other than it's, if I remember right, the frequency had dropped. It was by more than half. So it's the hard part is, you know, we're speculating.
Yeah.
I think one big difference between the two is one is owned by MDU and those costs go directly to ratepayers. And in this case, that is not the case, is it? This is a... Right. So this impacts the company financially rather than ratepayers financially. So I think that's a very big distinction between the two.
Well, not to be difficult here, but I will be anyway. I don't envision that MDU won't continue to use that energy to supply electricity to its ratepayers. But we don't know that 5 years from now they don't ask for a different type of a generating source and offer that up as a PPA because there's a premium for a company that wants those electrons. Sure. And we'd have to unwind some things, you know, in rate base, but I don't realistically don't see that happening, but I don't know that it wouldn't for sure.
Well, either way, though, on that point, this, I think what you're saying is these costs aren't borne by ratepayers that we are, that are subject to our jurisdiction.
Correct.
That we know of. I don't know who they're selling these, this, I don't know who their PPA is with.
I think that would land, though, on the, I don't know if we could weave that into economic consideration or not, because that opens up a can of worms as well. What happens when corporate tax rates go up and revenues aren't the same from business to business to business and it impacts them a little differently? What happens to a coal-fired plant when there are new emission standards put out and they have to retrofit their facilities? I mean, these things can happen to any type of energy generation at any time. I think the $1.5 million, I think, was the cost of LIDS versus about $500,000 for the cost of ADLS. Although they had a factor of four, and I forget, it was the 1.5 plus, I think, there. Oh, and then the long-term maintenance costs, which apparently are approximately $500,000 over the life of the facility for a total of two, it sounds like. But that, you know, 1.5 is, it is a lot of money. I get that, but you could have a gas-generating asset that someone has, whether it's an IOU or a merchant plant, and all of a sudden they have to retrofit for emissions, and they get hit with $5-7 million. Yeah, the IOU gets recovery in all likelihood, but a merchant plant is on its own, and they have to build it into their cost of energy. But it's so wide open. I think it's hard to quantify it in that sense.
You know, I wonder if it wouldn't, from my perspective, I'd like to try to get some information from the I don't think we've tried calling the FAA, have we, to find out where they're at with this?
No, I haven't reached out to them. I don't think any other staff has either.
I'd feel better knowing or trying to have a conversation with them and what the status is of this, and just explaining, listen, we've got deadlines here that our companies are working under, and like if you're within a month of approving this, or if you're going to do it soon, or do you have it? Does it have a fatal flaw that we're not aware of? Just if there's any insight we could get from them.
Yeah.
I would feel better, and then, you know, I think I hear both of you guys where you're at. I can bring an order to an upcoming meeting based on after I get that information, or we can have another work session if you guys want to.
I don't know if you're being real literal, but I think if we're going to rely on insight garnered from the FAA, I think we should do more than just a call. I'm okay with calling them, but if they offer up an answer, I think we should ask them to email that so that we can show what they
absolutely
sure
what they said.
No, that makes sense.
And I guess as far as the other extension that we did approve in this one, I do appreciate that they are the same timeline. They didn't go further out because they came in later. It's still the same 1 year basic extension to meet it by either system. So, but then again, there are some differences as well. So,
mm-hmm. Well, it is surprising to me that the industry hasn't been more active in pushing the FAA. They've known this deadline, and I know we're not the only state that a lot of these companies operate in, but if you're coming in to make an argument that it's, you know, a significant burden for you, then you should have been pushing much further in advance than just now. We're just like weeks before the actual drop dead date for when they'd need to implement the other options. So, again,
that's part of what's pretty disappointing, because we didn't know off the top of our heads either. It's pretty easy to figure out, especially if you are an investor in that industry, that we had quite a few of these with the same deadline. And did they really think that they were all going to get equipment and people to put these on in December of 2021? I mean, you got to start a little early if everybody's going to get done with the same kind of projects. And so this legislation has been in effect for several years, and COVID's only been an issue for a year and a quarter and a major issue for a year. Like, where were they with pushing for FAA for an answer on LIDS before COVID hit? You know, they just kind of sat back and...
Well, another scenario is they have been active.
They what?
We asked them.
Another scenario is that I'm not talking just this individual, and I'm talking wind advocacy groups across the country that they have been. And I don't know this, but I can't. Maybe they have been active. Maybe they're not
true
making any headway. You would just think there would be something out there about, you know, the status of the FAA, or that it looks promising or something. There's nothing. It's crickets.
Yeah.
And they can't be ignoring it, because we're not the only state that does this. Texas, I was doing some research, not on LIDS versus ADLS, but just I think they enacted their law in 2018.
We were the first ones to require it, but I don't know when they...
Well, I'm not saying we weren't. I'm just saying Texas. Texas did theirs in 2018. So there are a bunch of wind facilities down there, and you think they'd be pushing as well.
Yeah. And neither applicant for extension brought up anything about the efforts they had made to get this done. And, you know, so...
Yeah.
Well, I point-blank asked them what they'd been doing, and they'd... I don't know that they really realized that was our letter that we were working with the vendor with, you know, to get to our representatives. So
no, they cited it.
Yeah.
They said that they knew we had done this. So, all right, well, let's follow up with the FAA. I'm happy to help with that if you hit any roadblocks.
I'm sure I will, but I will.
The current administration is extremely supportive of renewables, so you would assume that they would be eager to get an answer to this. And I would assume also that the wind lobby has a lot of influence with the this administration should be able to get further than we can, actually. But you know, this just there shouldn't be a logjam on this. There should be no need for delays, unless there's some fatal flaw with LIDS that we aren't aware of.
It doesn't sound like it to me. I think the fact that they're waiting just on performance of the final test flights to take the last step before approval. I'm not saying it would get approved after that, but it seems like it's very close to the end. But maybe it isn't. I don't know.
Senator Holtman's office, did they?
I haven't heard
reply
back.
Reply back. Or we had sent the letter to them, correct? That
to we all sent three, to all yeah. three of them.
All right. three, yep.
Yeah, that's right. See if they've got any insight.
Yeah, we can check back with them, too. Okay, let's do that. And do you guys want another work session, or do you just maybe follow up at the next admin discussion?
Yeah, because if there's some new revelation from FAA, then...
Yeah.
I think time is... of the essence for the company to know what direction to move. I think we should be prepared to make a decision one way or the other, take official or an official vote on it, on an order. I guess it'd be on, what, the May 4th?
Well, it's kind of late. We can revisit next week after we give a few days for FAA. We can either set up another work session or a special meeting.
What's late? It's too late to vote on May 4th?
Yeah.
So you want to have a special meeting?
I think they needed to get going. May 4th might still work, but it was early May, I thought. Oh, well, they said granted by May. I guess I read that as May 1st.
Well, May 5th, I believe, is our next meeting. Well, if we need a special meeting, that's fine with me, too.
Okay. Well, Brian and I will keep in touch about what we're hearing from the FAA and make either a special meeting or a work session or something.
Okay.
And get back to you. All right. Anything else? All right. Thanks, everybody. That concludes the work session on PU 05-47.